This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joker here. And boy, did you get a wrong number. If you're looking for the Geeks Out crew, they're a little tied up at the moment.
Hiya, Puddy.
Be quiet, Harley. If you want to see them again, stay tuned to Joy 94.9.
Biosphere is a smaller production that has come to our screen, is coming to our screens this week. It's directed by Mel Eslin, and it stars Mark Duplass and Sterling K. Brown, and is written by Mark Duplass and Mel Eslin. We are going to have a little bit of a trailer here for you.
None of this is logical. We know that things happen that we cannot explain.
Do you?
Yeah. We want fast, we want slow, what are we feeling?
You pick.
Ray? Look how sick he is.
Oh god, it's real, we're gonna die.
I can't breathe.
Dude.
I gotta spit it out.
The pond seal is solid. And we're sealed in here.
Wait, do you see that?
This is crazy. It looks like the whole world is ending again.
Unless...
What?
I'm gonna find a way to keep us alive. I just need you to believe. There's goodness in change. Some people call it hope. I call it magic. Sometimes you can't explain all the magic in the world.
Dude.
What?
Life finds a way.
You didn't just quote Jurassic Park.
So if you manage to work out what this movie is about from that, you're doing much better than me. It's so hard to describe this film, but following a mysterious Armageddon, Bill and Ray are the last two men on Earth, now living in an enclosure with only themselves for company. What does this mean for the human race? As they said, Jurassic Park, life finds a way. Look, we're going to do a non-spoilery bit first, but then we're going to play a spoilery buzzer, and then after that, we're spoiling quite a lot of it. So we're going to start off not spoiling it. And for me, this is the exact type of film I love in terms of it's really focused on one place. It's not traveling around the world. It has a really small cast. It has a post-apocalyptic theme. And all those things that I really get into, thinking Cube and sort of other films like that, I really enjoy that genre. Have either of you two get into that at all?
I don't know if I've watched any other film is set in the one scene with only two people. That doesn't mean I haven't watched one, but I cannot.
I think we're going to have to... Clayton can give you a list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my favourite is Cube. There's actually about four people, to be honest, but still pretty small. Yeah. But we won't go into that right now.
No.
Okay. So, Tamsin, do you want to give us a couple of thoughts on this? Because I'm going to throw to Sam in the spoilery part mostly. I'll let you talk before that. Don't worry. But Sam has many a thought on this, and I'm very, very looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah. So for me, I was very thought challenged on this. Normally at the end of a movie, I can, you know, put down my thoughts really easily and say where I liked it or didn't. I almost thought about watching this again for the show because I had thoughts about certain things, thoughts about other things, and just really that uneasy feeling of whether I liked it or would recommend it to people. There's certain people I'd probably recommend it to, but a lot of my friends aren't into this type of movie. Regardless of the context in the movie, that the whole, like, you know, deep thoughts and that kind of thing, the conversation theories that they were having throughout it, I really love that. Made me think a lot of the time, and the bond of two grown men like brothers. I really like that companionship, because that found family that always bonds with me. If there's ever a show, or TV series or whatever, with found family, I'm there for it. And so that one. And the whole, like, hope It's how we work at work a lot. Like, just wait a few minutes or a few days or a few weeks and something will change to make it better. So really, again, bonded with that, I think. And of course, how can I not like a movie that has a tagline, "Life will find a way," stolen directly and quoted from Jurassic Park? You know, I think what I'm saying to myself now, I'm talking this out loud, I enjoyed it.
Okay, good. Yeah, we got there. Cool. Non-spoilery, Sam?
Yes. Look, it was really interesting how they explored this dynamic between the two Tams. And as you said, I mean, they are brothers. They've known each other for their whole lives. They've got so much history of, like, established dynamic set up. And then they're stuck as essentially the only two people left alive on Earth. They're so isolated and their relationship changes in interesting ways. And the movie does, without spoiling things, play around with gender and sexuality, also in interesting ways. And it manages to do so without being transphobic. But I would hesitate to recommend it as, like, a movie with queer representation wholeheartedly.
So we'll get that into a second after we play the spoilery thing, because there's a lot to exposition there. I just wanted to say Mark Duplass is known to a lot of people because of his movie Creep and Creep 2. He is astounding in that and is so creepy. Like, he lives up to the name of the film so well. That, again, is mostly in both films, it's two people. That is, and it's found footage style films, but very well crafted and definitely worth watching. I thought the characters in this, it was really great how they're the only two humans left on Earth, but they don't experience a huge amount of conflict between each other up to a certain point in the film. But their initial part is they're actually getting along well. They're not, their arguments are over stupid things like Mario.
That's not stupid.
They're not, like, they're getting along within the, because I would probably murder somebody if I was trapped with them forever for the rest of my life.
Not me,
Clem. Hi, Tack, I love you. but yeah. So let's play the little spoilery alert thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Beautifully done.
Yeah. Did I sound like the computer? I was trying
you
to sound
did.
Like the computer.
Yep, you did.
Yeah, cool. All right. I want Sam to go first because you just wrote so beautifully about this.
Okay. The plot comes in when Billy, I don't know, somehow, without his choosing or electing, develops breasts and a vulva. The whole life will find a way thing comes in where, you know, now these two men who could not originally have a child together, then, you know, decide to have a child together. And it's interesting from a trans perspective, in that Billy comes at being a trans man from a different perspective, right? From, like, the opposite end, right? He doesn't have the history there. He didn't choose it, but
So to be super clear, and sorry to interrupt,
no,
but
please.
Basically, some species have the ability to change their sex when it is necessary for procreation. The clownfish is a really easy example, and the one that is used in this film. It's not present in any mammalian species. However, Billy goes through a spontaneous sexual reassignment. So rather than a chosen thing, it's something that happens to him.
Thank you so
Does
much
that work?
For that. Yes, I needed the science vocab. Thank you. Yep. All right. That happens. And he experiences dysphoria after the transition. But he does come to sort of, like, embrace that. And that's an experience I can relate to, sort of-ish. And, you know, if he was living a normal life where he'd have to navigate, you know, he'd have to navigate things like dating and, you know, anti-trans policies. As essentially a trans man, right? It wouldn't make a difference.
How he started?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because, and we get that impression because he vocalizes the fact that he still feels, as a man,
masculine.
He still feels masculine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet he's got the organs of a female. And that's, and I thought that was really, like, and with the way you're saying it as well, he's a trans man. He just suddenly became, got the female organs.
Yeah, like, that conversation was fantastic. Yeah. Like, I was scared going into that film, like, that, you know, as it progressed, that it would come to him just, you know, turning into a woman, air quotes. No.
Mm.
No, it doesn't work like that. And they're quite clear and intentional that, no, he retains his masculine identity. Like, identity is far more than what bits you've got.
Yes.
Now, all of that aside, I wasn't sure how to deal with the relationship between Billy and Ray as it progresses. Now, they do indeed, you know, decide to have a child, right? But Ray, from the very start, identifies as straight. It's quite clear that it's quite a big part of his personality, right? He reacts very badly and aggressively and angrily when Billy's just casually like, why don't we make a baby?
Mm.
Right?
And I think that's where we should have an explicit warning.
Yeah, definitely the F slur is used in this film, and there is a small amount of homophobia. Well, smallish. Yeah, and a scale of one to many things, but yeah. And for me, as a gay man, like, I wasn't concerned about the homophobia in this film because I think it serves a purpose to the storyline. Where homophobia doesn't is where I have an issue with it being in films like, for example, It. I really didn't cope well with the homophobia in there. Whereas in this film, I think it actually progresses the story and gives something for growth within the characters as well.
I wish, like, yes, I wish that from that homophobic starting point, though, we'd seen an equal sort of, like, moving forward and, yes, or, like, acknowledging and embracing queerness, right? Once Billy's like, hey, yeah, my body might have changed, but I still identify as a man, right? That would have been a really great opportunity for him to, you know, bring that up with Ray and just go, well, okay, we're parents, right? We're bringing this thing up.
Pronouns are he.
Yeah. That. But like, it's difficult. It's not. They imply that their relationship does become sort of more affectionate and intimate after they have sex, but and enduring too. But that's not acknowledged. There's nothing there beyond very heartwarming montage scenes. Mm. And I would have liked more of that, given that, you know, we start out from this quite homophobic and explicit.
It could have been taken further, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're nearly out of time, so, but what I want to add is that I was really impressed with how this film actually goes through the storyline that it does without bringing in transphobic content, which I actually think was quite, I was expecting it and it didn't happen. Mm. So, any last comments for anybody else?
Oh, look, I think, if you enjoy that type of movie, the one-on-one small concern, like whether you're looking for a queer movie or not, I think this is really thought-provoking and real, that edge of science kind of end of the world push. What would you do?
Mm. Sam?
Yes, seconded. Good film overall.
Definitely worth checking out. Yeah. It is in limited cinemas. So it's definitely in, like, will be in, like, Nova and The Sun and cinemas like that. So if you want to go check it out, definitely it is worth your time and effort just for the thought-provoking aspect of it. Yeah.
So that's Biosphere.
Biosphere, yes, indeed.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.